You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is World Class Radio. I'm your co-host Jordan the Body Fox, and with me today, it's the return of the marvelous one, Marvelous Mike Moore. What's up, man?
How's it going?
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Long time no see. What, you been dead?
Yeah. I kind of took a little bit of a hiatus away from this place, man, and I've missed it so much.
We've missed you, dude.
Man.
We've missed you.
For sure.
So it is 7:30 p.m. on Friday, June 29th.
I wish it was September. I'd be in
right?
Chicago, man.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. Yeah. We're going to do about a half hour show, your first one back. We're going to do your top five favorite matches that were held at an Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of feel like I want to do, you remember Eric Bischoff's song, I'm Back and I'm Better Than Ever?
Yeah. I'm back.
Maybe we should splice that song in.
That
there.
Was one of the most incredible moments of Raw that
I've
ever
watched. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Ever.
Top five.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Top five.
But before we do that, we're doing that because in, 17 days, we've got an Extreme Rules coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do your top five favorite Extreme Rules matches. We got to keep it right at 30 minutes because we've already pre-ordered Ring of Honor Best in the World 2018, where we do believe... just downed a bunch of big old Dr. Pepper, so I had a big old burp there. We do believe that we're going to see Cody Rhodes. Cody. He's the only person besides Sonata that I've seen with just all capital letters on his first name.
Yeah, the American Nightmare.
Yeah, but Cody, we do believe we're going to see him dethrone Dalton Castle for the Ring of Honor World Championship.
I do think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Quick, before we start, I want you to tell us what you're going to be doing in September. What were you referring to, bruh?
Oh, man, I'm all in.
You're all in.
All in.
Too sweet.
Yeah.
Ah, that's cool, dude. Yeah. I'm jealous. I'm certified jealous.
Well, with as much as I've been jealous of you here lately, I think it's about time that you get a shot at being jealous of me for a minute. But for sure, man, it's going to be a great show. And that's why I think Cody's winning tonight, because it's going to be title for title.
With you think so?
Him and Magnus.
Yeah.
I know his name's not Magnus anymore. But I can't help but call him Magnus. Just like Cody, I can't help but call him Cody Rhodes. I'm always going to call him Cody.
Yeah, same here. But I, what I think is going to happen.
Tonight?
No, not tonight.
Oh, okay.
Tonight, Cody Rhodes is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to beat. I figure, do you think he pins Dalton Castle? Or you think they
maybe
get a schmoz out of it? It's
a
elimination, right?
I don't think so, is it?
I thought that's what you texted me.
No,
elimination.
That was for the match that we're going to talk about here in a second on the Evolution versus the
Shield.
Yeah.
I seen that and I was like, holy shit.
No, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, okay, yeah, then they might schmoz and get out of it and have him pin Marty Scurll for the world title. But I think that, and this is a long shot since they've already sold out the show, they don't have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Cody's going to win the world title tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Nick Aldis are going to be set to go and face each other in the main event and all in. And then all of a sudden, another world champion turns it into
Omega?
A triple threat match in the IWGP, the real world's champion, Kenny Omega, makes it a triple threat.
I've got an opinion that's better than that.
Okay.
You're not going to think this is better, but
okay.
Storyline-wise, I think you might enjoy this. Cody wins the Ring of Honor title tonight.
Okay.
And then he wins the IWGP heavyweight title from Kenny Omega in August.
What?
Is it August or July when he wrestles Omega for that belt?
I think it's July.
Okay. And then in September, he leaves All In with 3 world titles.
Wow. I just don't know if IWGP... I don't know if New Japan will do that.
That's the biggest thing, is they just put that belt on him. Yeah. There's no way they're taking it off him. But how cool would that be to see...
Oh, that'd be fucking
Cody,
sweet.
Cody Rhodes, you know, the...
Like the belt collector.
Yeah, well, not just that, but the redheaded stepchild of Legacy. You know, the guy who was never supposed to make it. Sitting there with the 3 most prestigious world titles outside of the WWE. You know? I mean, I think it would be amazing.
I think it would be sweet, dude. So before we start, I have to get your opinion on Kenny Omega. So I think, you know, I would lick his toenails right now. Like, he's the greatest wrestler in the world. I have to ask you, before you say anything, who's the better wrestler? IWGP World Champion Kenny Omega or World Intergender Champion James Ellsworth?
I go Kenny Omega every time on that one. But... I love Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to think that I don't like him, because I do. If anyone in those 7-star matches, I did the quotes if anyone was wondering. I think Okada's kind of lame, myself. I like Omega, but I think Okada's kind of lame. I think he might be the Japanese version of Cena, just more over.
Yeah.
But do I think he's the best in the world? No, AJ Styles is still the best wrestler in the world.
What?
Yeah, dude.
You're saying that a guy with 3 6-star matches and a 7-star match underneath his belt is the second best wrestler in the world?
You got to remember something, though. I don't give a shit about Dave Meltzer's star rating.
But, I mean, you wouldn't say that all 4 of those matches are 4 of the best matches you've ever seen? Okay. We grew up idolizing Jim Ross, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jim Ross said, did you see that post that I made the other day?
Yeah, I seen it.
Jim Ross said that that full quote goes, I'm not going to say it's the greatest match I've ever seen because I've been in this business for 4 decades or whatever. He's like, I don't know what that means anymore. But
he's probably forgot better matches.
Yeah, but he said, I can tell you I have never called a better match in my career. That's coming from JR.
Yeah.
JR don't give a shit. He ain't got... Because New Japan doesn't pay him.
Yeah.
Access TV pays him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'll tell you this much, because I don't want to offend you too bad and offend our listeners. I think Omega Okada 2, the one at Wrestle Kingdom, was that 2?
Wrestle Kingdom was the first one.
Okay, so the first one.
Yeah.
I think that one was better than the 2 out of 3 falls match.
Okay. Well, I mean, at the time, that was said to be the greatest match of all time, 6-star.
Okay.
but yeah, it was a good match. Dominion, last year's Dominion, was 6.25-star. It was really good as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they were fantastic matches. I'm not going to say they're not.
Yeah. Off the top of your head, if you could name one that was better.
Oh, man. That's hard. It's really kind of hard.
Because it doesn't exist.
Well, no. The problem with it is, for me, is I've been watching it my entire life straight on. Like, I've never taken a break. I've been watching, you know, mainstream wrestling my whole life. And so, to me, it's like it's almost like I break it up into eras. Like, this is the best match of this, you know, here. And, I mean, the first match that comes to mind to me when you talk about my favorite match of all time.
Hogan versus Sid.
No. In WrestleMania, are you talking about WrestleMania 9?
9, yeah.
No, 8, WrestleMania 8.
Yeah, when 9. Hogan or fucking Flair's on the undercard.
Yeah. I mean, to me, and I'm not saying this is my favorite match, but it's the first match that comes to mind when somebody starts talking about favorite matches. And that's Brock Angle and that Iron Man match on SmackDown.
Okay.
I love that match.
Yeah. What'd Meltzer give that?
I'm not sure. I honestly don't know. It happened in...
I just asked because you hate belts.
It's probably in Pittsburgh. It's in Pittsburgh or something like that. So it wasn't in Japan. So he probably gave it like 2.5-star. But you know what I mean? I kind of break it up into eras. Now, is the Wrestle Kingdom match, since that's my favorite of the trio.
Wrestle Kingdom 11.
Yeah. Is that match the best match of the current era? I'd say, yeah, probably. It's probably the best match I've seen in a long time. But a lot of NXT matches. I would watch Ciampa, Gargano. I'd watch Ciampa, Gargano wrestle each other over Okada, Omega any day of the week.
Really?
I think that their matches, while maybe not as good in-ring, I think they tell the better story, which is what I happen to enjoy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think right now, and I know you disagree with me on this, but I think the best wrestling product by far on television is NXT.
Well, I think I don't disagree with you. I think NXT it is number 2 in my opinion, but it's a close number 2. I've said on the show at least 3 times that the greatest match I've ever seen was Omega Okada 4, but that from a physical standpoint, in-ring match, when you're talking about just the match, no storyline, right?
Yeah.
And they told a great in-ring story. But I said the greatest story told within a bell to bell in between those ropes was Ciampa Gargano won at TakeOver New Orleans. That the story told within that match was the greatest story ever.
And you're a Ric Flair fan? And you still think it's Ciampa Gargano?
Yeah.
Oh, nobody's a better in-ring storyteller than Ric Flair, man.
But name one in particular.
His Steamboat matches.
But that's three matches. I'm talking one single match.
Okay, how about his match with Savage at WrestleMania 8?
You know, I've never seen that match.
Then I'd say you're probably batting at a bias.
I'm saying that I've seen. Yeah. I'm saying that I've seen. I'm not saying it's the greatest ever. I'm saying that I've ever seen.
A match that you've seen.
That was Gargano Ciampa.
It was great storytelling. Great.
That within a story told from beginning to a match to end of the match, that was the greatest one that I've ever seen.
I mean, it competes, yeah. But I mean, what about Bret Shawn in the Iron Man match at WrestleMania 12?
See, I'm not a Bret. I never got the whole Bret thing. I know he's one of the greatest ever, but I've just never, you know what I mean?
But you're a Shawn guy, right?
Yeah, I'm a pretty big Shawn.
I mean, that Iron Man match was made. That was the story of that match was, hey, here's the established guy that has been carrying this load since Hogan left against the guy that could upseat him and the guy who's been a fan of this promotion and this product since he was a child. You know, it's a boyhood dream.
Yeah.
It's come true.
Well, if the ending is what kills it for me.
Why?
Because they go a fucking hour without a single fall, and then as soon within 120 seconds of overtime starting, they were already looking for close. They were already having near falls, and within 5 minutes, the match was over. The overtime was over.
Yeah, you don't think that's great storytelling?
No, not that close. Like
They couldn't do it within the hour. They had to extend it.
They needed just three more minutes.
they had to extend the hour, man.
I wanted the match extended, but okay. go 12 more minutes.
All right, how about this? You remember Super Bowl a few years ago when it was the 49ers and the Ravens? Mm-hmm. And the Ravens were, I mean, they dominated that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm.
Brother versus brother.
Yeah. And then halftime hit. You remember what happened at halftime?
Mm-hmm.
The lights went out in the arena. And then all of a sudden, halftime was a lot longer than 30 minutes or whatever, how long halftime is supposed to be in the NFL.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, the Ravens are off their game, and the 49ers are on their game. 49ers made a game out of it. In the end, the Ravens won.
Right.
But the 49ers turned into a game because of that little break.
Yeah.
So when Bret Hart leaves the match thinking he's champion, you know, and then Gorilla Monsoon comes out and says, hey, no, we're doing overtime. I mean, that had to throw him off his game, right?
Yeah.
So how's that not good storytelling?
That's true. That's a good point. But that's still Gargano and Ciampa, dude. Like, that 9 months of buildup for that. And, dude, I mean, at the end of it, when he sits down, and Gargano is like, you know, sits down next to him, is having empathy for him. Even after all of this, he feels sorry for the guy that fucking turned on him. And then the guy tries to hit him with the knee brace as a callback to 9 months earlier at a takeover when he turned his back on him after he tore his ACL, MCL, and meniscus.
Okay, then what about Austin Rock 17? Storytelling-wise. The build up to that match was
when
Austin
the one in Houston.
Yeah,
when
where
Austin
turned heel. Well, yeah. The build up to that match was Austin would do anything he had to do to beat Rock.
If you go back
and watch that promo, dude, it's clear as day he's turning heel at the end of that match.
Yeah, but no one's seen it coming. I would put that up there, but I just think that is, to me, we got to get going here. But to me, that is, in my opinion, story within a match that is the greatest match of all time that I've seen. But when it comes to pure physicality, then the 6'11 Dominion, this year's Dominion, Omega Okada 4 was the greatest match ever. And my boy Jim Ross agrees with me. Jim Ross, by the way, who is the reason that I'm such a great commentator, because he gave me a 10-minute talk.
Yeah.
You know, 10-minute talk from JR. You know how fucking fast that guy can talk?
Yeah, pretty fast.
It's like fucking half hour me and you talking.
Yeah, well, I've been accused of talking fast sometimes. Uh-huh. Like, especially like at church stuff when I got to get up and speak in front of the church or pray or something. I've been accused of talking really fast sometimes. But that dude can, I mean, how many times did he say Stone Cold at WrestleMania 14 within
right?
a 10-second, you know?
Yeah, dude.
But to end this segment, my advice would be to go back and watch some more old stuff. Not that you're wrong, but maybe it would change your perspective on, you know, I think Gargano Ciampa was a good throwback to some old stuff.
Yeah.
Like some Flair Steamboat, or even some like old old stuff, like some Bruno Zabisco, where, you know, the student turned on the teacher, and the teacher gave him every chance he had not to be that shitty student, but in the end, he had to put him down.
How many top rope powerbomb lung blowers did Larry Zbyszko do to Bruno Sammartino?
But you said story. We just talked about it.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm just kidding. You got to admit that was a brutal fucking spot.
Oh, dude, Ciampa. You know, I've got guys that are just, you know, for me and Raw, my Raw guy Seth Rollins easily. My SmackDown guy's AJ Styles easily. Ciampa's definitely my NXT guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Aleister Black's really good, and I love Aleister Black, but I mean, Ciampa may be the best heel working today.
Dude, he won't even let him sell their t-shirts. You ever look at him on Twitter when he's talking to someone, a babyface that he doesn't like? He doesn't, like if he's talking to Gargano, he doesn't put at Gargano. He types in A-T Gargano. That way the babyface can't see what he's saying because they don't deserve to be tagged in his tweets.
Yeah, I mean, Miz gives him a run for his money and Owens gives him a run for his money. But Ciampa, to me, I mean, he's the best heel working today.
Yeah, this is absolutely brutal. Yeah. All right, man, let's get to our list. Let's get to our list so we can chug your Starbucks coffee, my Full Throttle energy drink, and then we can watch Ring of Honor.
Sounds good.
We got
before
16 minutes.
One more thing about the Ring of Honor, and then we'll move on. I want to make it a point that I think tonight's tag team match between the Briscoes and the Young Bucks will compete with Okada Omega. For
really?
Match of the year, yeah.
And
the two best tag teams working, man. The Briscoes and the Young Bucks. I mean,
I have a problem with enjoying. I'm going to try to enjoy it, but I have a problem enjoying the Briscoes, and I've had a problem enjoying stuff that Ronda Rousey does too, just because of their thoughts on transgender and LGBTQ. But I do at the same time like. I do understand that I'm being a bit hypocritical because I can go back and watch a Crispin Wall match.
That's what I was fixing to bring up.
And so, like, I want to mention that, but I try to, if I say something, I want you to remind me, like, dude, you got to separate the person and the entertainer.
It's like watching the Cosby Show. I fucking love the Cosby Show.
Right. Piece of shit.
Yeah.
Deserves to be in prison. But,
yeah. Bill Cosby.
Great sitcom.
Bill Cosby, piece of shit. But goddamn it, Dr. Huxley. He's just, every male's role model.
All right, man. Number five.
You're not gonna like this one.
All right,
This is a recent one. Roman Reigns defending the WWE World Heavyweight Title, what they called it at the time, against AJ Styles in 2016.
Ugh.
Have you seen it?
I feel like that I did watch that because AJ. I was a fan. I was already back into wrestling when AJ came in 2016.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was looking for my vape. Have you seen it?
Did you leave it in my car?
No, it's right there.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so I'm pretty sure that I did watch that. And yeah, I do remember it being a good match. It's not that it's just a good match. No. I just have I have a bias against Roman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, which is funny because Roman's going to pop up on this list twice.
Uh-oh.
But, I mean, AJ, this was when AJ first showed up and AJ was carrying Cena to good matches and carrying, you know, he was carrying matches. And
right.
He did. I mean, he carried Roman. And the crazy thing is it had interference like crazy. You know, the club interfered. That may have been it, just the club interfered. But, you know, and Roman pulled it out. And, like, Roman kicked out of fucking everything AJ threw at him. So that sucked. But the thing about Extreme Rules is there hasn't been too many great matches. Like, I could probably put together a 10 match list. But number one and number 10, you'd be able to tell a huge difference between the two.
Really?
You know what I mean? But this, I mean, it was a good match. A shitty result with a good match.
Is this, I seen, when I looked up Extreme Rules, the first one was in 2009. Has it ran every single year that you know of?
Mm-hmm.
So next year will be the 10th one.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah, it is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Anyway, number four.
CM Punk versus Chris Jericho. Oh, let me go back to number five. AJ Roman was just an Extreme Rules match.
Okay.
CM Punk versus Chris Jericho in 2012 in a street fight, and it was amazing. You should check it out.
I've seen this one.
Two guys that you...
This was back in Chicago.
Yep.
And I thought it was a phenomenal match. My favorite part was when CM Punk was, I think he was about to do the top rope 10 punches to Jericho,
mm-hmm.
and he looked over to Michael Cole and did this and said, "Vintage Punk!"
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, he's an asshole. Yeah. CM Punk.
Definitely. But I'm going to get his autograph.
Yeah, dude, you got to have him sign my son's belt if you can, dude. That'd be sweet.
For sure. If he goes sign a WWE merch?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he will, because he made his bones there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I understand that he made himself in Ring of Honor, but the reason all those fans are there to see him is because of what he did
in WWE.
In WWE and how he left WWE. Yeah. So no matter how much he hates, like, if I'm a celebrity, I fucking hate the Philadelphia Eagles. Mm-hmm. But if someone came up and a fan paid for something because of me, and it had the Philadelphia Eagles emblem in the bottom right-hand corner for some reason, I'm not going to let someone wait in line for several hours.
Right. Well, and I've never met CM Punk. Let me just preface it by saying that. So I don't know if this is true or not, but you may be a different morally kind of person or personal kind of person than CM Punk is, just from y'all's rep. You know what I mean? Like you're probably a little bit more approachable than CM Punk.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard some stuff like that.
If I ever saw him, I figure, you know, if I do see him, I'm probably gonna, you know, say, hey man, I want to tell you, when you were doing it, I enjoyed watching you do it. You're one of my favorites of all time, and just thank you. You know, but I've heard about people trying to get him to talk to him in public, which, you know, I understand can be a shitty.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of something you sign up for? You know?
Yeah.
When you do that?
That's why you're paid all that money.
Yeah.
You know? I go by the Rob Zombie train of thought. And Rob Zombie said, he was asked in a radio interview one time how he feels about people coming up to him and other celebrities when they're just out doing their daily routine. And he said, fans should always go up and try to talk to a celebrity, try to shake their hand or anything like that within reason. Because even if you feel embarrassed, because the celebrity gets that all the time, he'll probably forget it tomorrow. But you will always remember.
Always remember, You dude, know. If I ever meet Rob Zombie, I'm going to be like, dude, House of 1000 Corpses fucking rock.
Right. Yeah. And, dude, think about if CM Punk says, fuck you, I'm not signing any WWE merch. That's even a cooler story than if you get his autograph.
Imagine if I come
be
back.
Be like, look at this fucking belt. Yeah. It's not autographed by CM Punk because he told me to fuck off.
Yeah, for sure,
Number three.
Christian versus Alberto Del Rio in 2011. It was a ladder match.
For a title?
Yeah. Edge had just retired. At WrestleMania, or he wrestled Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania, retired 2 weeks later on Raw because of the neck injury.
They vacated the title.
So they vacated the title, and Del Rio was automatically put into the match for the title. Christian had to win a battle royal or some kind of match to get back in. I don't recall, but it was a ladder match, and I mean, everybody thought Del Rio was winning it. And Christian won that match, and it was a good match. It's a ladder match with Christian, and of course, it's going to be good. You know, Christian, to me, top three most underrated wrestlers of all time. I think Christian. I think he doesn't get his due.
And he won the world title then?
Yeah, he won the world title in the ladder match against Del Rio. Good match. If you haven't seen it, I do recommend it. I mean,
was that his first WWE world title?
Mm-hmm. It was.
I thought his first one he won. Okay, that makes more sense.
Well, I mean, unless you count the ECW title.
Well, no, I'm not counting that.
Because he won that first.
No, because remember, Chavo was the ECW champion, but then entered the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
So that kind of negates the fact that, or the thought that it's a world title.
Yeah.
That's cooler because I've always thought, for some reason, I've always had it in my head that Christian's first world title run in WWE was when he won it after getting kicked in the dick by Randy Orton. So that's
that
nicer.
Was his second. See, he won this ladder match, and then two nights later he dropped it to Orton on SmackDown.
Why didn't they give him a run with that?
Have you listened to Orton on the podcast?
Which
on
one?
On Edge and Christian's?
Oh, no, I haven't.
They explained what happened. Vince was adamant, and even Orton was like, this is a terrible idea. You should keep the belt on him. And Vince was like, no, we need something. We need you guys to cover it during the summer. When summer's up, you know, we've got something else. We need you guys to be the top story on SmackDown for the summer. And the best way to do that is turn Christian heel, have him chase you. And so even Orton was against it. And he's like, man, the fans want him to have the belt. We should just keep the belt on him. And Vince said no. So don't blame the Viper. I don't know how many times.
I didn't. I wasn't blaming them. I thought it was just a shitty thing.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely.
To me, I've never blamed Randy Orton for world title wins because I don't think he gives a fuck about a title. Yeah. I think he gives a fuck about a paycheck. Yeah.
Well, you know, Orton, he'll put over your mother. You know, he doesn't care. I mean, he'll put over a broomstick in the ring as long as you pay him at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And plus, I think because he grew up in it, he's got a legit passion for it.
You think so?
I really do think so.
I've always thought that he didn't have a passion for it. Is that just him playing his gimmick really well?
Probably. I mean, you know, when he was young, he was real shitty. You know, he had a real bad attitude problem.
Did he take a shit in someone's bag one time? Whose bag was that? Lita?
No, it wasn't Lita. It was another woman, though. I can't remember. Amy Weber? Was that her name?
I don't know who that is. Yeah, I'm grabbing my energy drink while you're talking. Do you want yours?
No. I'm going to paper you, yeah. But Amy Weber, yeah. But anyways, Orton had a shitty attitude when he was younger. And, you know, he grew up a little bit. And now, I think now, the reason why I think he's got a legit passion for it, and it's no secret that I'm a Randy Orton mark.
Yeah, you are.
Huge Randy
That's
Orton.
That's not mark. It's not Miller time. I'm
You're not Conrad.
Yeah, I'm not Conrad.
Or Bruce.
Well, everyone knows that listens to the show. I'm clean and sober. Going on 7 months now, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So proud. that was my full throttle.
I'm a proud older brother today.
Thanks, man. Yeah.
But anyways, and the reason I think he does have a passion for it is because I think a couple years ago, especially when Brock came back, and then The Rock, and now Cena, Orton's at that spot now where he could do this part-time if he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And make probably about the same amount of money he makes working full-time. Now, he does have a restructured deal where he doesn't work house shows. He just works TV and pay-per-views. But fuck, man, he's been doing it. His first pay-per-view was in 2003, and we're in 2018, and he's still working he's hurt now, but when he's active, he's working 15 TVs.
15 years, man.
Yeah, he's working TVs, and that's what I'm saying. If he didn't have a legit passion for it, I don't think he'd be doing it full-time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
15 years is a long time to be putting your body through that.
Yeah.
I've been taking bumps for 3 weeks now, and I'm fucking sore.
I bet, man.
No, I don't know what 15 years, I'd be dead.
We went outside so I could have a cigarette a while ago. You were pretty stiff walking out there, man.
Yeah, I told you I had to take 40 yesterday, and I was like, oh, shit.
That's right.
What are we on, number two or number one?
Number two.
Number two!
Edge versus Jeff Hardy, another ladder match in 2009.
Edge and Jeff Hardy. Mm-hmm. I have not seen this one, but I can tell you, I guarantee it was good. Well, it's number two on your list.
Yeah.
But.
Not only was it good, the ending was fantastic.
Really?
This was the CM Punk heel turn.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Jeff Hardy finally beats Edge in the ladder match. It had been a couple of months and he couldn't beat him. You know, DQs or no, you know, people would come in and interfere. So he finally pulls the ladder. He pulls Edge through one of the rungs and Edge is stuck, like through the second to the top rung. Can't do it. And Jeff Hardy pulls his belt down, you know, laughing in his face. And then Punk comes out with the briefcase, beats him, and then he tries to do the, I'd have done it to anybody bit for a couple of weeks, and then finally goes full on heel. I mean,
really?
The match itself is fantastic. It's a ladder match with Edge and Jeff Hardy. I mean, of course it's going to be good.
Yeah.
But the reason this is two and not five is because Punk coming in, cashing in, starting that whole, you know, heel run that he would eventually have after this, it puts it over the top.
I love it. Yeah, I absolutely love it. I'm going to have to go back and watch that now. You know, boys, CM Punk.
It's the main event of 2009, so just go to the network and go.
Main event 2009.
Yep.
During the Straight Edge Society, which came right after that, right?
Well, he dropped the belt to Taker, and then a couple months after that, he started the Straight Edge Jesus stuff, which was, I mean, some of his best work.
Yeah. Who is the shaved-headed female?
Oh man, what was her name?
Was she a worker?
Yeah, she was a worker. What was her name? I don't remember her name. You got me.
Do you know who Josephus is? That is like number three guy in NWA right now.
Mm-mm.
Kind of like a bigger, heavyset guy. Anyway, he has a spiritual advisor
gimmick.
Yeah, that he carries around a picture of a bald lady, and I think it's her.
Really?
And for a long time, I just thought he was carrying around the picture, but she actually shows up in a promo not long ago. So I'm going to have to show you a picture of her.
Man, I can't remember her name for the life of me. I know her face.
She was pretty. She was like a punk pretty.
Yeah, see, they pulled her from the crowd, is how that started, and shaved her head, and then she started going with them. And then, of course, Mercury and Gallows, you know, they were the other two.
Hmm.
Which the Gallows bit, man. I think they should have put the tag titles on Punk and Gallows at that time, because that may be my favorite Gallows stuff ever, when he was like, I used to be Cousin Festus because I was so hopped up on the pain medicine and the drugs, but then CM Punk came and saved my life, and now I'm drug free and I'm straight edge, and now I've shaved my head and I'm Luke Gallows. I'm not Festus anymore. And it's like, oh, fuck. You know, I love that straight edge stuff, man. It's like, I mean, of course, the Summer of Punk stuff was his best work, you know, easily. But, man, that Straight Edge Jesus stuff is pretty good, because he worked with Mysterio during that time, and those matches he had with Ray Ray were great.
Really?
Yeah.
I like him. Number one.
Another one you're not going to like?
Uh-oh.
It's our second Roman. But, man, this match isn't just Roman, so that's good.
Okay.
It's Evolution versus The Shield in 2014 in a Falls Count Anywhere elimination match.
Wow.
And
Shield goes over?
Shield goes over. Not only that, and a clean sweep one.
Really?
And this was the match that solidified Seth Rollins as my favorite WWE wrestler.
Wow, they clean sweeped them.
Batista, Randy Orton, Triple H. Swept them.
Do you think...
And each one of them got eliminated by a different member, so it's not like Roman fucking destroyed them all.
Right.
Roman got the end pin on Triple H, of course. But I think Dean pinned Batista, Seth pinned Orton, and then Roman pinned Triple H. I may have those backwards, yeah. But that's what happened.
Do you think that Vince McMahon pushed for that clean sweep, clean victory, or do you think Triple H was actually like, okay, yeah, I dig it?
I think... If I was to
Triple
guess,
H is a guy that cares about winning.
Yeah.
Whether anyone wants to, whether Bruce Pritchard agrees with it or not.
Kiss his ass, yeah. I think Triple H back in the day definitely cared about his win loss record. Yeah. Definitely. But I think now that he's kind of taken the back seat, I think if Vince would have had his way, it would have came down to those three versus Roman, and Roman would have swept him. You know what I mean? But
it's
I think
old school. Old school booking.
Yeah. I think Triple H, really, and if you have any doubt, go watch some NXT. I mean, watch what he's doing with Gargano and Ciampa and Blag, you know. I think Triple H has learned to be a booker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is around the time that he was starting to slowly take, you know, take on that book, that writing job and helping. And I think maybe Triple H might have been like, just let him, you know, you want him to be over. You want him to be over. Let him just pin me. Let him just sweep us.
let him use my golden shovel.
But, you know, he doesn't really talk like that backstage. It's more like a, well, hey, guys, I'm a hunter.
His fucking idiot daughter and doofus son-in-law.
Doofus son-in-law, yeah. Dude, if we ever get, like, really big on this, we're never going to be able to work for the WWE with as much shit as we talk about Triple H. There's no way.
I'll tell you, I had a friend tell me that used to work for WWE,
mm-hmm.
used to be a very prominent position in WWE, told me that he was sitting next to Triple H one time in the locker room, and guy came out, a younger talent came up, and fist bumped both of them, shook both their hands, won the two, and Triple H was like, hey, guy, what's up, man? Good match last week. Talked to him, and as soon as he left, my buddy was doing something, and he elbowed him, and he said, that motherfucker thinks he's over. I ain't going to let him get over.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Triple H back in the day. Triple H the wrestler, not Triple H the booker.
But, I mean, he's talking like, I'm not going to let him get over because I'm going to go talk to Vince. The guy was a young guy. He wasn't in. This guy,
he wasn't working with him.
No.
Okay.
No. These two guys were working together.
Right. So I know you're not going to say it on air, but can I try to see who it is later?
Yeah. I'll tell you who it is off air. Cool.
That's the big brother guy.
It's really cool that I'm, you know, I have a job that we can know these kind of things. You know what I mean? And this is, I've never told this story on air, and I'll never tell who it is because the guy trusted me with that confidence to not tell anyone. Right. But I did, you know, tell him like, hey man, I won't tell anyone, but you know, I am going to talk about that story. And he's like, yeah. He said,
don't use my name.
Yeah, he said, he just was very adamant. He's like, I don't care who you tell, if you say it on the air or whatever, that's cool. He's like, just don't use my name.
Yeah.
You know, don't hint to me or anything like that. He's even though, he's got no desires to go back, but you know, someone throws $500,000 a year at you or something like that, you're going to go back. Yeah. So I would never.
Giving Brock money, yeah, fuck
yeah. Yeah. So, but it is really cool that I'm in this position that I get to meet all these former WWE guys and guys moving up to go to WWE. But I thought that was really a shitty story when he said that.
Can I at least guess who the younger talent was?
Actually, he did not tell me. He told me the younger talent's name, but I can't remember.
I was going to say Enzo Amore.
No. Well, I don't know if this guy and Enzo was there at the same time.
Okay.
We'll talk about it off air.
Okay, cool.
But anyway, that means we got to go because the stuff started 2 minutes ago. So, Mike, how can everyone get a hold of you? Twitter, Facebook, anything like that?
Yeah, you can hit me up on Twitter. I'm at MikeMo4444, and I'm also at MikeMore on Facebook, and I'm also fixing to take a bigger role on our Facebook page.
Sweet, yeah. So you'll be World Class Radio.
World Class Radio, so you'll be seeing me all over the place. Hoping to start shooting out some more articles. And I'm thinking I just wrote something, a comprehensive history of the WWE.
Yes.
I'm thinking I'm going to try to find somewhere to release that to everyone so they can have like a resource book to go look
for. Yeah. If you're looking for print, I typed that book for our former state representative, Mike Mass, and he had a publisher in Tulsa.
Mm.
So if you're looking for like that, that would be someone semi-local, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I may look into it. And you just update it every couple years or so?
Yeah.
I may look into that.
But you can follow me at, or on Twitter, at Fox the Podcaster. You can find our show on Twitter at World Class Daily. That's World Class DAILY. And if you take our Twitter handle and put it on Facebook and you type out World at World Class Daily, you can tag us in posts. You can find us on Facebook, whatever you want to do. So the Twitter handle is our Facebook handle, too. I guess that's what you call it, Facebook handle.
Yeah.
But so you can literally find me and Mike on Twitter, on Facebook. You got an Instagram account?
I don't.
I have a personal Instagram account. It's also at Fox Podcaster if you want to give me a follow on there. Mike, thanks for coming back, dude.
Last thing I want to say is it's fucking good to be back.
It's, dude, it's fucking swell to have you back, man. We're hoping that you can do however many morning show episodes you can do a week is how many we're going to do. If we can do 5, that would be swell. And for the days that Mike is not available to do the morning show, we're going to have, me and Mike's going to have like this system where we have special guest hosts from other shows. And then we are going to help promote those shows. We're going to have people that we are fans of. You know, if someone out there has got a crappy podcast, you know, we don't want to put our name on their podcast. We're probably not going to have them on the show.
Yeah.
But like on Friday, for instance, this is Monday, so 2 days ago, for instance, we had Floyd Johnson from Around the Ring.
Around the Ring, yeah.
Yeah, real good podcast. Also an Oklahoma guy, lives in Oklahoma City.
Nice.
The day before that, we had a guy from Houston named Chris Spizek, and he's got a new video show called Spies and the Benchmark Show, and it premieres today, as a matter of fact. But before that, his Pro Wrestling Recap podcast was a great podcast, so that's why I was more than happy, or I was delighted when he agreed to come on the show. You know, so anybody that comes on the show, you can rest assured that we'll plug your shit, and that you know, if we ask you to come on the show, that means that we really enjoy your work.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah.
We hope you enjoy ours half as much as we enjoy yours. Yeah, for sure. You know, we want you to come on our show.
Hey, one quick thing. Since I'm coming back, you think I need to be repackaged? You know, do I need to go from Johnny Nitro to John Morrison?
Dude, I think you should take on a heel persona.
How about someone that is a heel, but you're gonna shove down their throat like a face? Instead of the big dog, I'll be the mad dog, and this is my lawn.
That's it, dude. We're doing
my lawn.
We're doing it. Ah, just busted my elbow, dude. Ah, dude, my elbow is so sore. I took one of those. I took one of the bumps wrong.
You were talking about that earlier.
Oh, and so like it took the brunt. I just spit again. I'm such a loser, dude. I try to be like this tough wrestler, and I'm like, my elbow. Anyway, too sweet. Everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?